Good morning. It's good to see you guys this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking at a bit of just some of Peter's final words to this church that he's sending. I don't know about you, but I love Peter, right? Because as a young disciple, he over and over and over again would open his mouth and insert his foot, right? Athlete's tongue, I guess maybe you could call it. But he said some things that were very similar to things that I maybe would have said when Jesus was around. But then, some things happened and some maturity and experience and growth and transformation happened. And so I'm always really, really up for Peter. And I want to read just a few verses from chapter 3 before we jump into the message. It says this in the first verse. It says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles." On verse 8, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some have understood slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. So then, dear friends," verse 14, "since you were looking forward to this new day, this day of his return, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him." On to verse 17. "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." Let's key in on this verse 18, the last one. "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that your word would speak to us this morning. God, as Shane has also prayed, God, your word is true. And God, I pray that whether the year passed, God, the circumstances that we've walked through, whether good or bad, God, whether there was glory or grief, I pray, God, that your word would speak to us this morning. That as we pause and reflect, God, that you would help us to identify areas where we're living out of a lie and not out of the truth of who you say we are. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus and in the grace of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We made it, right? There's a few more days left in the year. And then we've only got 51 Fridays till Christmas. Can I get an amen? It's exciting. Mark your calendars. I do. I hope that you've had a good week, right? I hope that Christmas was amazing. I know it can be such a joyful, but also incredibly stressful time of year for people. And I hope that you've had some time to pause, take a deep breath and reflect. Maybe head to the beach and enjoy the children playing in the water, or maybe some napping in front of the test cricket, whatever that is. Anybody get into the cricket? About 7 of you. I can commiserate with the rest. It's nap time. But I hope you've had a good week. I know that, like some of us in the room, I'm incredibly excited, as Craig said, for a new slate, to see the calendar roll into a new year. I'm pretty pumped about that. The first half of this year was pretty great, but the last half it has been pretty difficult. And I'm excited about that there's a new year coming. There's a clean slate, and there's a whole like array of things to look forward to. But I think it would be really helpful for us if we took some time to reflect, to pause and consider what God's been up to this last year. My dad is a prolific journaler, right? I did not inherit that gift from him, but he loves to journal. And I would see, growing up, I would see that, like, this last week of the year, I'd see him pull out all the journals from the year, and kind of just meticulously read through them, seeing the things that he wanted to remember and bring into the new year. And then he'd write them in his brand new journal for the next year. And I like I said, I'm not really a great journaler, but I do want to grow in like the fruit of that, I guess. And so this last year, I've really tried to be more faithful in taking notes on a Sunday if I wasn't speaking. And so this last week, I went through all of my notes for the year. I've got a special notepad up in my office. And then on those days where I forgot that notepad, I make notes in my phone. And so I went through that, and I found three things kind of really jumped out at me from this last year. And the first one was this: we talked a lot about Jesus, which is pretty cool, right? All of our major sermon series this year were about Jesus, right? How Jesus changed everything, right? How he taught about what it looks like to live in his new kingdom, right? We spent two terms on that. And then the last one, we looked at what it looks like really to live together in this new kingdom that Jesus has called us into. It's been really amazing. The second thing I noticed is we talk a lot about humility and servanthood, right? This is kind of the basis and the foundation for everything that we do is found in humility and servanthood, learning to love and to serve others the way Jesus has loved and served us. The last thing I noticed really was that more than anything that God wants to do for us, he wants us to know that he's with us. Right? And what a powerful revelation that God is with us. And as I reflect, as I pause and look back over the year that we've had, I think I've probably needed that more than anything, to know that Jesus has been with me. And those times when I've been incredibly joyful, that he's been right there with me in the joy. And those times when, like, all I could do is cry, that he was there crying with me, giving me his love and his strength to keep moving forward or keep moving, I guess, in his direction. The first Sunday of the year, Tim spoke a message from Daniel chapter 3. It's a story many of us know from growing up, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they wouldn't bow. And Tim talked, about this in a very cool way, right? He said, there's no other God who goes into the fire with his people, right? And we see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God is found in the fire with them. But then he reminded us, really, that this was a pointing to Jesus, where there is no other God that actually goes through the fire for his people as well. So that I look back on this year, and I think, man, God has been with me in the fire. But not only has he been with me in the fire, he's actually gone through the fire for me in more ways than I could ever know, maybe in that moment. Because I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I look back over the year, it's sometimes easier for me to remember negative things more clearly than the positive things that have happened. And I thought, man, this is interesting. And I wonder if it's one of these things that's just me, or is this kind of common to humanity? And so I was doing some research and reading some studies on this, and come to find out, we have kind of wired our brains to remember negative things more accurately when they're connected to negative emotions. I thought, man, that's really interesting. I don't want to live like that. I want to live out of the transformation of who Jesus has said that I am, right? Because when we are focusing on the negative, it's really easy to believe some lies. And really how we live, how we walk, how we work together and love one another kind of comes out of this place of identity. Who are we really? And when we're focused on negative things, it's really easy to believe lies about our identity. I'm a super huge fan of a pastor, a priest, and a theologian named Henry Nouwen. And this is what Henry says. I really like this quote that he gives us. See if I can find it here in my notes. First of all, you've got to keep unmasking the world around you for what it is. It's manipulative, it's controlling, it's power hungry, and in the long run, it's destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, every time you feel offended or rejected, you have to say to yourself, these feelings, as strong as they might be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I can't feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called beloved from all of eternity and held safe in an everlasting belief. You see, Henry's talking about challenging these lies of identity that so many of us kind of move in and out of. And there's three of them that I want to remind us of and talk about this morning, because if we're going to be who God designed us to be, if we're going to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, we really have to be able to identify these lies. Not only identify these lies, but kind of take them captive, renounce them, and then replace them with the truth of God's word, the truth of what God says is true about us. And so Henry's challenging these three lies of our identity. And the first one is simply this, that I am what I have. I am what I have. When we believe this lie, we're chasing after a thing, right? We're chasing after a thing that will bring us some sort of happiness, some sort of security, or maybe some sort of satisfaction. This is really easy for us to fall victim to, believing that we are what we have. It can almost seem normal for us to think this way. But truly, you are more than the nicer car or the nicer house, the better school, the right career path. These things don't define who you are. They can't define your true self. Neither can your political party. Neither can your sports team. Go Hawks. And neither can your worthy cause. You are not only what you have, right? We are not just what we have. These things don't define our true self. The second one that Henry is challenging really is, I am what I do. It might be a job, it might be a position, it might be an ability, but whatever it is, we're really good at defining who we are by what we do. This is how we talk. This is how we describe ourselves. This is how we describe others, right? My name's Ryan Smith, and I'm a pastor. I always know that when I'm on an airplane, if I want to have peace and quiet for however long the flight is, all I got to do is tell them what I do. Do I want to have a conversation with this person today? Yeah, hey, my name's Ryan. I pastor a church. Earplugs go right in. Yes. Right? Like, but really, is what we do who we are? I mean, it can be part of it. I remember when I met my friend Claire, who is just an amazing person. She talked about how frustrating it was for her to be introduced as, this is Claire, she's an artist, instead of, this is my friend Claire, she makes me laugh and we have a really great time together. To be distilled down to a thing or an ability really doesn't serve the full self that God has made. We're really good at defining ourselves by what we do, but our true self is more than what we do. So we need to challenge these things. We need to identify them where we're living out of these lies that say, I am what I have, or I am what I do. The third thing that Henry is challenging in that quote before is that I am what other people say or think about me. What do people say or think about you? Really? Do you really know what people say or think about you? Is social media real? Right? Like, what is it like to only chase after the affirmation of the faceless crowd through any means necessary? I think of all these three lies, and I identify with all three of them, but maybe this last one is the one that really is where the rubber meets the road for me. I've always struggled with needing affirmation, which is why it's so difficult for me to believe it when I get it. Even when Shane is saying nice things about me up here, it's a struggle for me to accept that for what it is. Because for so long, I have believed that I am what other people say about me. As a pastor, I work closely with lots and lots of people who are on lots and lots of different journeys. And I see this all the time, right? That in my life and in others, that we do become a version of what we think others say or think about us. And it can be silly things, right? Like, I know this is true for me. Recently, my son Aiden had a skateboarding accident and we had to go to the ER. And boy, I want to be strong in the ER. Right? I want to look like I know what I'm doing. I want to come across as calm and like I can handle this. This is okay. And we're in there and Aiden's got this massive concussion. A lot of you know, I've seen this already on Facebook, right? That Aiden had this massive concussion and the doctors are talking to me, right? Telling me kind of what's going to happen, how it's going to go. Ellie's been informed and I'm doing okay. And then they couldn't kind of wake him up anymore. They couldn't kind of wake him up anymore. And so they're like, we're going to take him right in to get scanned. And that's when I lost it, right? Like all of the blood went out of my head and I passed out, right? And the nurse is really mad at me because she's like, are you okay? Are you going to be okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. She's like, no, you need to lay down. Get a pillow for this guy. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And next minute, on the ground. Right? And like my friend was there, and he kind of slides this pillow under me before my head hit the ground. And I was so grateful that we didn't have two skull injuries. Right? But I just wanted to be stronger. Right? I just wanted to be in control. I wanted to be able to deal with this in a better way than just becoming a puddle on the ground, right? It's silly. Shock happens to everybody. Like, there's reasons for it. But in my mind, it doesn't happen to me, right? And so thinking about this, right, what am I what people think about me? Or can I just be okay with who I am? That's just a silly example, right? But it goes deeper. It can go really deep. At the beginning of this year, my doctor said to me, Ryan, you know, you're not really taking care of yourself very well. And it might be good for you to see a psychologist. She said, it might be really good for you to see a psychologist. And as a pastor who knows the limitations of his own training, right, I'm always understanding and seeing that there are situations and circumstances that I haven't been trained for. So I love it when I am able to point people in the right direction to get the tools and the training that they need or the help that they need. But was I keen to do it when it was me? What will people think when they find out Ryan needs to see a psychologist? What's wrong with Ryan? Right? And of course, this is an irrational fear. Most people, when they found out, were like, oh, man, good job. But in my head, you know, the lie that you're a pastor, you can't have issues. Like, you can't have problems. You've got to be better than this. I think is a lie that we all face, no matter what our position is, that we are so much more than what other people think or say about us. And so I made the jump, right? I went to the psychologist and I made the commitment to do what they asked me to do. And I found it to be one of the most beneficial things I've ever done. Right? But just low key, casually, when it would come up in conversation, you know, I would want to be authentic and cool about it. Like, yeah, I'm seeing a psychologist. In my head, I was way more casual and cool than I was in real life, right? In real life, the lie or variations on the lie would come back to haunt me, right? And I would actually end up looking like the guy who's got shock laying on the ground, right? And that's okay, right? I got to this place of where it was okay to tell people and be authentic with what God is doing in my life, right? Identify the lie, resist the lie, and replace it with something that's true, right? Because we are so much more than what we have. We are so much more than what we do. And we are so much more than what other people think or say about us. I am what I have is a lie. The truth is I am favored in God's eyes. I am what I do is a lie. The truth is I am a beloved child of God. I am what others say or think about me is a lie. The truth is I am safe with God. Timothy Keller once said, our need for worth is so powerful that whatever we base our identity and value on, we essentially deify. We make it a god, and we will look to it with the passion and the intensity of worship and devotion, even if we think of ourselves as highly irreligious. Let me just replace those lies with God's truth. You're a beloved child of God. You are favored in God's eyes. You are safe and you are secure in Jesus. Where we began this morning in 2 Peter, Peter's kind of giving his last words. He knows, he says in chapter 2, I'm the tent of my body is leaving, right? But I want to remind you of these good words. I want to remind you of these things. And so he's giving us an opportunity to reflect back on all the things he said, to reflect back on all the things that God has done in this church's life. And particularly in this church of 1st and 2nd Peter, it was a persecuted church. It was a church that was oppressed. It was a church that was fully stressed out. It was a church that had to live counterculturally. Reminds me a lot, really, of the opportunity we have today to live the way that Jesus has invited us to live. That we are called to live counterculturally. That we are called, even in the stress of the life that we find, to do something that Peter says at the end of this book, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. What does it look like for us to replace these lies of identity with the truth of who Jesus says we are, but then to continue to grow in the knowledge of God? What would it look like for us in the new year to be people where we have 100% of our church involved in growing in the knowledge of who Jesus is? Through life groups, through classes, through seminars, through different teachings, through reading the scriptures, what would it look like? But to not only grow in just the knowledge of God, because what does Paul say? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. To not only grow in the knowledge, but to grow in the grace of Jesus. The unmerited favor that we are loved and accepted, that we can replace these lies of identity, that we are what we do, we are what we have, or we are what others say or think about us, with the truth that we are loved and accepted by God. Not by anything that we could ever do, but because of what Jesus has already done. To grow in that grace, to grow in that knowledge. I hope this week that you'll take some time to reflect on the year gone by. The ups and the downs. The grief that we've shared, the joy that we've shared. And I hope that you'll see the fingerprints of Jesus' transformative power in all of it. And whether or not you've experienced any of those lies of identity, that you'd be able to challenge that lie and to replace it with God's truth found in his word. And hear the call of invitation that says we can together grow in the knowledge of Jesus and grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior. We're going to sing a song. If you want to stand with me, we're going to just take some time to pause and reflect, to worship together. And as they sing these words, I hope that you'll just leave some space I know depending on your personality, it's going to be different for all of us. Maybe it's the stillness and just listening to the music. Maybe it's just being silent. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's, you know, sometime this week, just taking time to break away from the ordinary and find some solitude with God, to just reflect on who he is and what he's done. Because he is the God who is found in the fire with us. And he is the God who walks through the fire for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we would be found in the truth of what your word says about us, that we are your beloved child, that we are favored in your eyes, and that we are safe and secure in your arms. God, I pray that you'd speak to us as we worship now. In your name I pray. Amen. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I hope that you'll take some time this week, even if it's challenging, even if it's difficult, to find some stillness, to find some solace, some solitude, and some silence. And reflect on the year and allow God to speak to your heart. Have a great week. Have an awesome new year. And we will see you in 2020. Take care.